I finally know why Jonathan Majors dresses like a slave that is applying for a job at Best Buy. And that's because he is dressing for the woman he wants. And that is not Megan Good. It ain't the white woman's finger he hurt either. It's Coretta Scott King. For no reason at all, he keep bringing Coretta Scott King up. Ain't no reason. There was an audio of him telling the white woman he was with, hey, I need you to be more like Coretta. I don't know how the hell he expected this Caucasian Karen to do that, but he told her that. And then he was on an interview. He told the interviewer that Megan Good is my Coretta. I know Martin Luther King, if you go to heaven with him, he gonna whoop your ass when he see you. It's going to be some furniture moving in heaven the day you could. I know if I'm in heaven and I'm watching YouTube and you keep bringing my wife up, oh, I'm going to have to tell God, like, hey, bro, as soon as he come up, just go somewhere for a minute because you ain't about to like what's about to happen. I need to say something to him. I need to cuss him out in heaven and not be with no repercussions because ain't no way in hell you're going to keep bringing my wife up. Ain't no way in hell. And then it's like he's saying it like you knew Coretta. Like, where's your mother at? Like, can you say your mother? I know if I'm Jonathan Majors' mother, I would feel horrible right now. I'm like, why Coretta? Was not a good woman to you? I don't know the situation between you and your mother, but I'm just like, somebody else? Like, bring us somebody that maybe is not married to a civil rights leader, one of the most important of all time? Ain't no women out here going to be like Coretta Scott King. Instagram is out now. If Instagram was out with Coretta Scott King was out, she would have been shaking some too. Hey, Coretta Scott King might have had a OnlyFans link in her damn bio too. You don't know. I'm just saying it's a possibility. I ain't trying to disrespect Dr. Martin Luther King, but I'm just saying times have changed. You might have had your Coretta Scott King back in the day, but she ain't got it now. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm James Andre Jefferson Jr. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe, like, or whatever you're doing. Just show some support somehow. Anyway, back to what we're talking about, Jonathan Majors. So I would like to redact everything I said my last episode. My last episode, our low-key lightweight was defending him, but this last interview just really pissed me off. I don't know why. It just really bugged me. It why was there a camera fixed on Megan Good? Y'all been dating like for like 4 months. I get it. If this was like LeBron James and Savannah James, they've been married since they was like 6 years old. Y'all just got together. She don't need to be sitting there through all this. Like, what's really going on with y'all? Like, black women have been trying to say this for the last few months, and I just kind of been disregarding them. I'm like, okay, whatever. They've been saying Megan Good is being used for PR. And I'm starting to believe it because there's no reason why she had a camera on her. And so the first time they cut to her, I'm like, what the hell? Just like the first time they cut to Taylor Swift at the damn football games. Speaking of that, comedian Joy Coy. He just hosted the Golden Globes and he got some back. He was getting backlash. Now, you are able to have an opinion on a comedian's joke. You could say if the joke is not funny, if it's corny, if it's lame, if I don't get it, I don't know what's going on. It's stupid that you would even joke about that. You could even say you shouldn't even joke about that because you know what that comedian could say? Well, I think I should. You could have your opinions, but to act like that little joke, matter of fact, I ain't Joy Coy, I love you, bro. But the Taylor Swift joke was weak as hell, okay? So it was a weak joke and you could say that and that's it. The joke was weak. Oh damn, he shouldn't have said it. Boom, just like that. But the people that is trying to get this man canceled over the Taylor Swift joke. Now, let me be honest. I don't watch award shows. I ain't watched since Kanye took the award from Taylor Swift. Damn. That's my second Taylor Swift reference in like 3 minutes. The Swifties going to get my ass. But anyway, what was we on? The Golden Globes, Joy Coy. So Joy Coy is getting some backlash. People trying to get him canceled. I've seen tweets, people trying to, I think, come after his sponsors. I'm like, for having a bad set? Not even a bad set. I watched a YouTube video. It was like a 10-minute video of the monologue. And the 5 minutes, for the most part, was cool. It wasn't like the whole thing was bad. It was just like that joke and maybe like another one. I didn't like that he threw the writers under the bus. I didn't like that. If you have a writers and you perform a joke of theirs, you just got to eat that shit up. That's what performers do. You got to. Yeah, hey. Or write the whole thing. I don't know how it works with the Golden Globes, but comedians, black comedians, has been, they started off 2024. And by that, I mean Cat Williams. Now, I know last week the interview dropped on Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp and Cat Williams. I was recording my radio show as it was happening. And as the clips were coming out, I remember was recording my radio show. Actually, quick little announcement before I keep going. We have a syndicated radio show. I'm a co-host on the Bootleg Kev show. We are going to be nationwide. We have signed a deal. So if you listen to radio, you got a hip-hop station in your city, just check to see if it's iHeart. It's more than likely that I'm going to be on your airwaves along with Bootleg Kev. Back to the comedians. Let me reset it. All right, so Cat Williams went on Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp. They had an interview. It was phenomenal. I watched the whole thing, and I'm not a podcast watcher. I'm more of a clip watcher when it comes to podcasts because I don't care about most of the podcasters' personal lives. I don't need to know what you did this weekend. Okay, let's talk about the shit I want to talk about. Like I'm a little selfish like that sometimes, but I am who I am. If you don't like me, kiss my black ass, to be honest. And so Cat Williams went on the interview, and a lot. For one, I loved the interview. It was hilarious. It was funny. And it's a lot of beef brewing. And I understand it from Cat Williams' point of view. Cat Williams, I personally study comedy. I love comedians. I watch white comedy. I watch Filipino comedy. I watch Latino. I watch everything because I just enjoy jokes. We haven't seen much from Cat Williams. Now, most of the comedians that he talked about on his episode of Club Shay Shay, they have been on Club Shay Shay before him. So he's responding to a lot, which I never get mad at somebody responding. I never. Just because, you know, when I know this, I know there's a clip going viral right now with Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart pretty much was saying, oh, Cat Williams on drugs. He was blackballed. Hollywood didn't choose him. They chose himself. It's a clip. It was on The Breakfast Club. It was going viral over the weekend and whatnot. And I remember, I'm part of the comedy world. I remember watching that clip. And Kevin Hart was responding. So I'm not mad at Kevin Hart responding, just like I'm not mad at Cat Williams responding. At the end of the day, these are grown-ass men. Steve Harvey, Bernie Mac, Cedric the Entertainer, D.L. Hughley would never get any type of disrespect from me, and I'm going to tell you why. The Kings of Comedy is the special. I seen it in movie theaters. Was the moment I decided that I wanted to do stand-up. I think I was 12. I was 12 or 13. No. So I seen the Titanic. The Titanic comes out. I've seen it in movie theaters. And then at some point in time, I don't know if it was shortly or like a couple months after, I'm 12, 11. I don't have a reference of time like that when I was 11 or 12 or 13, whatever. And then the Titanic comes out. I mean, then the Kings of Comedy comes out. I go to the movie theaters to see it. And Steve Harvey's Titanic joke was so relatable to me, I laughed. I was dying. Cedric the Entertainer, I loved them. I love Cedric the Entertainer so much to the point where in middle school I would act like I was Cedric the Entertainer to the point where in my yearbook in middle school at Mount Gleason, you can go and look. A 2004 yearbook, I have celebrity lookalike, and everybody said I look like Cedric the Entertainer. Which I don't look like the nigga now, I'm a little sexier than them. You know, I ain't gonna wear the zoot suit every day like them. Yeah, Cedric step out. It take him to get ready like 2 hours because he got to put all that bullshit on. But Bernie Mac, one of the Mount Rushmore comedians of all time. I have all respect for them. I don't have respect for joke stealing, though. And in the interview, he accused, I believe, it was Cedric the Entertainer of joke stealing. And it's to the point where Twitter did their thing. Everybody got to see the clips that Cat Williams was talking about where he's saying Cedric the Entertainer stole Cat Williams' joke. Now, if Cedric don't come out and say, like, hey, look, this happened in 1998 on Comic View when he said this, but he doesn't know I have this tape from 1994 when I actually started doing this joke, then Cedric, you look like you stole a joke, brother. This is coming from a young comedy guy. Yeah, you make this right if you have it. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying if you did do that, just come out and say it, bro. Come out. You had your career. You're still going to have career. You're still going to sell out. You're still an elite joke teller. And I've learned a lot from you. But you got to make this right. You have to. The part that I didn't like the Ricky Smiley part too much. I'm not going to lie. And because Hollywood is different. And he was saying about a movie role, I think it was Friday After Next, that Ricky Smiley was supposed to, that went on Club Shay Shay and claimed that he originally was supposed to be Cat Williams' character. I think Money Mike or something like that. And Cat Williams just didn't like that. Now, from Cat Williams' perspective, how he told his story, I believe him wholeheartedly. Everything he said, and I believe why he thinks that. Ricky Smiley's side of the story, after the fact, I don't know what he said originally on Club Shay Shay, but he did come on the radio and give an explanation of like what actually happened. His explanation makes sense to me. So you just got to remember, perspectives is important. They're, sometimes two people are telling the truth. It is possible. It happens all the time. It is known. My career, I have gotten so used to shit changing in Hollywood. I have gotten shit like, oh, we're going to make this happen for you. We're going to fly you out to here. We're going to make you the next big thing. They was telling me that when I was 17 years old. I'm about to be 34. I still ain't crossed over this motherfucker yet. So it's a lot of promises, a lot of lies in Hollywood. So I wouldn't put it past Hollywood, the industry, to be like, okay, no, this is what happened, and we switched at the last, like to lie to somebody to get them to a certain role, and then be like, oh, we have this great idea. Whole time, this great idea was thought of 4 months ago, but they know you wouldn't say no, and they know you wouldn't fly out, and they know you wouldn't. And I'm just saying shit at this point, but I'm just trying to make the point that Hollywood changed, and I think Ice Cube confirmed it. So I just know how Hollywood is. So when he was saying it, I was like, no, that sounds like yeah, that's possible. I think at that time, Ricky Smiley was the bigger name. So it's not crazy to think that he didn't go to that audition that Cat Williams was speaking about. It's not crazy. I have done two types of auditions. I have done auditions where I had to line up with 500 people. And I have done auditions where producers hit me up and say, hey, you look like this person. Can you send me a videotape of you reading these lines? Like, I didn't have to do extras because now that I've been in an industry longer, I have a little bit more perks. And I've seen both sides of it. So I've seen the Ricky Smiley side, not saying I'm nowhere near where he's at in his career. And I've seen the Cat Williams side, and I'm not nowhere near where he is, especially not where Cat Williams is at. Cat Williams, I would say this about Cat Williams. Every person that we could talk about when it comes to, like, the funniest, the GOAT of comedy. It's the GOAT of comedy is always funny. Because it's like Ari Spears was saying this, that like the GOAT is always going to be changed every day, depending who you talk to. There are going to be people that say DC Young Fly is the GOAT. There's going to be people that say Kevin Hart's the GOAT. There's going to be people that say Eddie Murphy. There's going to be people that say Jim Carrey. There's going to be people that say George Carlin. There's going to be people that say Cat Williams. So the GOAT conversation is always funny. But I will say this. In conversation, and I was thinking about this when I was in the shower. I got a burp. That's why I sound like that. My bad. I was thinking about like, damn, I really never really heard anyone say, I don't think Cat Williams is funny. And I've heard it about every single body else. That doesn't mean anything because if somebody out there that I haven't seen or a comment section, there might be a whole page dedicated to hating on Cat Williams. But me personally, in my everyday life, in reading comments and looking at this, I don't see many people, if any at all, say Cat Williams isn't funny. I hear it about Kevin Hart. I hear it about Tiffany Haddish. I heard it about Chris Rock. I heard it about, I'm about to say Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington, funny as hell, by the way. But I haven't heard it about Cat Williams, and I haven't heard it about Bernie Mac. Who else haven't I heard it about? I've heard it about Richard Pryor. I've had people, there were people from this generation, like these young motherfuckers that watched Richard Pryor and they said they didn't think he was funny. And he wasn't supposed to be funny, y'all. He is genius. I think the undisputed GOAT is Richard Pryor, to be honest, as far as like the person that changed the most and one of the funniest people, if not the funniest person to ever step on this earth. And that's just my personal opinion. I put Bernie Mac right up there with him. You know, I put Patrice O'Neal right up there with him. But it's just interesting. But in all of this said, I appreciate Kat because I've seen faces that I grew up watching and loving on Comic View and other stand-up specials, black comedy. I'm seeing more faces that weren't getting any press, weren't getting any shine at all. Like I seen D-Ray Davis the other day pop up, and I love D-Ray's comedy. And it's just good to see black comedy getting promoted again, in spite of Cat Williams going in on these motherfuckers. It's just good to see. I don't like to see my OGs get teared down, but at the end of the day, Cat Williams, Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, Mark Curry, fucking whoever else he brought up, they all grown men and grown women. If you got something you need to say to this man, say it. I'm not going here to defend y'all. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I heard about the stories of Steve Harvey calling to get Bernie Mac's role in Ocean 13, but I don't know if it's true. I heard that. It could be like the whole Steve Harvey thing and stealing Bernie Mac. It could have been as easy as this because this has happened to me before. As someone that represents me, a manager, agent, somebody like that, moving without your permission, somebody, an agent, a manager of Steve Harvey's could have. I'm not saying this is the truth. I'm just giving alternate realities. It's easy as an agent calling, hey, Steve Harvey really wants to Bernie Mac's role. Can we make this happen? And Steve Harvey don't know nothing about this. This agent trying to get paid. This manager trying to get paid. They don't need to know. The talent don't need to know how they got the role sometimes. Just know you got this motherfucker. Okay? Now let me get my 10%. So the game funny like that. It's a lot of people in this game moving exactly like that. There's people that have management and agents that are screwing them over so much. And they don't even know it right now. So it's one of those tough situations where you don't know. I don't know. And this is not me saying Cat Williams lying. Cat Williams probably got way more scoop. Cat Williams probably know exactly the exact story how it went down. It could be Steve Harvey going up to the Ocean 13 producer and slapping the dog shit out of him saying, give me Bernie Mac's role. I don't know. So that's why when it comes to like the other little stories, I'm like, what the hell? When you start talking about Ludacris and the Illuminati, that's why I was like, hold on. But this is the part that really confuses me. Cat Williams, he said this in the interview. He was talking about, he had a clip with, I think her name was CC Williams or DD Williams. He was doing a radio interview with some chick and she was kind of trying to roast him, which I don't know why she would do that. I was like, have you seen you, boo? You better not go in. You got one of the funniest niggas on the planet in your room. And you think you gonna key a little bit? Nah, Cat Williams destroyed this motherfucker. I mean destroyed. Said her finger was gnarled. I don't even know what that means, but the shit was hilarious to me. I'm like, yeah, she do got a gnarlish finger and not knowing what that means. But it just he was talking about that, and he says, people forget that my first job is to make people laugh. He said this towards the beginning of the interview. So I listened to that, and so if your first job is to make people laugh, I don't know which one of these bits and parts are just like, oh, I'm just trying to make people laugh, or I'm telling factual truth. You get what I'm saying? It's like me. I will say something that is not all the way true to get a laugh. I'm not saying that's what Cat Williams is doing. I'm saying knowing that, it makes me say, I don't know if he's just trying to make us laugh or if this was all 100% facts. No, I really think for sure about 85 to 90% of that interview was facts. Because he said a lot of things that was, oh, the thing he said about Mark Zuckerberg, I'm surprised that wasn't more highlighted. Shannon asked him why he think Mark Zuckerberg and them is starting building underground bunkers in Hawaii and whatnot. His response was because of Kim Jong-un. And if you don't know what that means that motherfucker ready to push that button already. He ready to go boop. And it's one cyber hack, one outage from that button being pushed. These billionaires are building these bunkers. It ain't a surprise. I mean, it ain't no like, oh, a billionaire build a bunker day. It ain't none of that. Something's going on. If you don't know, something is going down. Because Mark Zuckerberg been a billionaire since 2011 or 12 or something like that, or before that. So why he didn't build them bunkers then? You feel me? Why 12, 13 years into your billionaire status of wealth, you say, you know what, let me get a bunker now. Nah, bro, there's something going on. And I don't appreciate nobody telling us that. Like, that's what's making me mad. Like, why the hell ain't nobody telling us? Like, give us a fighting chance. Like, I want a chance to live, brother. Like, what is we doing here? But with all that being said, is there anything else I need to talk about? I really need to write shit down. I really do. Because I just be winging it. I will say this. There was a little confusion in my last episode. I was talking politics about Trump and Biden. Some of y'all, I don't know why, I just said I'm being more open-minded with that, with politics. And what I should have said is I'm being more open-minded with everything in my life. Except putting something in my butt. And other than that, everything else open. My diet has changed dramatically. I don't use as much seasonings. I don't listen to FDA recommended stuff. I've been hitting a mental reset on everything, and I just really am trying to relearn everything, because a lot of things were just put into my life, or put into my parents' life, or put into the curriculum of the schools I were attending that I just probably wouldn't agree with if I had my own chance. But I just been living life just based off stuff that I might not even believe, or making decisions based off stuff I don't even believe. So earlier this year, in the middle of this year, I was like, I got to reset. And every story that hit, every story, if it involved black people, if it involved trans people, if it involved, it doesn't matter. Any story I've read, and I just took it in myself and came out with my own opinions. And it's making me a better comedian. It's making me a better content creator. And that's why I was doing that, because I feel like there's a point in time where, like I said in my last one, I was too woke at one point in time. And I didn't like the content I was putting out at all. It just, and this is not me saying, oh, I'm anti-woke. Now, I still got some woke-ish in me. So I just want to say, I'm not voting for Trump. Now, as I keep looking at stuff and I read stuff, and if my mind and my heart and my soul, and I talk to my wife and we have conversations and we come to make that decision, then that's what the fuck we gonna do. Simple as that. I'm not making decisions as a group. You get, like, when I go into that voting booth, I'm making the decisions that I think is gonna be best for my family and my people. And if it's Joe Biden, if it's Trump, if it's Vivica, whatever the nigga name, if it's whatever, if it's fucking, I want Umar to run. I want Dr. Umar Black Ed. That's who I want to run. If Dr. Umar ran for president, it's gonna be the Black House. Day number two, he gonna put something in the damn, what's the white boy rules? The Constitution. my barber used to, he calls the Constitution white boy rules. He said, that's rules to protect white men. They don't protect us. You think you got freedom of speech? You think you got the rights to bear arms? you better not, nigga. but I just wanted to clear that up, because this podcast, this show, is not a place where you're going to get, oh, liberal point of views or conservative point of views. You gonna get this nigga's point of view, and that's it. I'm not too liberal, and I'm not too conservative. But I have things where I think more conservative, and I have things I'm thinking more liberal. And that's, I think more people need to be like that. I just want to listen more. I don't want to just turn on CNN or Fox News and they say, oh, this person's bad, don't look at them no more. Okay, like, what's his name? There was this guy that I never knew. And I always seen him CNN or just somebody, Jordan Peterson is his name. And I still don't know much about what he says and does, but I ran into some stuff that actually changed my life. And it has to do with the carnivore diet. I did a somewhat of a carnivore diet where I'm eating mostly just red meat for lunch. Now I eat a steak. Literally, I've been doing this for probably 4 to 5 months now. And when I tell you, I feel so much better. It's crazy. And I got that from Jordan Peterson. But if I listen to just one side, I won't be able to get this information. Now, I don't know everything this man stands on. I don't know his opinion on civil issues. I don't know his opinions on the LGBT community. I don't know his opinion. I just ran into a video and I looked at that and I said, damn, this dude, he's helping me on this part of my life. So what I'm saying is, if racist is out there, he can help me make some more money. I'll talk to you about the money shit, but when you start talking about race, shut the fuck up, okay? I'm tired of just shutting people out because of who they voted for. Everyone has valuable information. The homeless people that live everywhere, you talk to about 10 of them. I promise you four of them are going to give you some good information to help your life. At least four of them. So I just open to information right now. And it doesn't matter which side, doesn't matter who. Doesn't matter if somebody gives me wrong information. That's up to me to then accept information. That's why I like with the whole Cat Williams thing. I'm not just accepting everything as a facts. It's third party info, but I'm not calling him a liar because Cat Williams has never given me a reason to lie. I mean, to think that he's a liar. But that's it, folks. Just wanted to clear that up. It's your boy, James Andre Jefferson Jr. Make sure you follow me on my socials. That's at James Jefferson J. Show me some love on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. I'm on there. Shoot, I appreciate everyone that DM me. There was one, let me give this one dude a shout out. Hold on. There was one Twitter. That's how I'm getting old. I was going to say there's one Twitter and read the Twitter. I meant to say there's one tweet. But this dude, shout out to WavyGamer18 on Twitter. He sent me, for those of you that been watching this, this should make you laugh. If you knew, this ain't going to mean shit to you. He tweeted me and said, at James Jefferson J. So you going to be consistent with your podcast this year, right? When I read that this morning, I started laughing because I resetted this podcast about 4 or 5 times. Like there was one time I came back, did 2 episodes and disappeared. I'm the Rihanna of podcasts. Buy that Fenty with your dumb ass.